It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent rodhunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
My friends, there is nothing more evil than evil that masquerades as good, and then turns to the real good and calls that evil. Oftentimes, my fellow Christians ask me if I believe we're living in the last days, the end times, the last generation that will see Jesus. Well, we've been in the last days ever since the new covenant, but the last generation, that's another story. Will Jesus return in our generation? I don't know. But if you want to ask me about the broader question, does the Bible say anything that appraises the times we're living in today? The answer to that is definitely yes. It's found in Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good. Well, today I want to talk about the lies related to the subject of immigration, specifically illegal immigration. Certainly, I've spoken about this before, and I'll be speaking about this again, but the lies are getting even more outrageous. An illegal immigrant in Los Angeles just staged her own fake kidnapping by ICE. Her daughter set up a GoFundMe page. She has been arrested, now not kidnapped, but legally arrested, because what she did was against the law. And she had already broken the law by being in our country in the first place. But she was not grabbed off the streets. They claimed she was at a fast food and grabbed and stuck into a car. None of that happened. They found footage of her quietly getting into somebody else's car. She traveled to another part of the country, gave some fake phone calls as if she had temporarily escaped long enough to get on the phone. What a mockery. And then you just love this one, the alligator Alcatraz. I think they should just rename it Alcatraz, but that's my own little opinion. Anyway, the alligator Alcatraz in Florida, where if you escape, you have to go through the swamp. Democrats have been up in arms about this. They've toured the facilities. And one Democrat congressman claimed it was too hot. The place is air-conditioned, but he claimed it was too hot, and he proved it by getting out a thermometer. What he didn't tell people, but what was witnessed, is that he held the thermometer up to a light bulb. Well, you don't have to know much about physics to know that if you hold a thermometer up to a light bulb, the thermometer's going to get warmer. You can't make this stuff up. Well, I guess you can, because the Democrats and the liberals and the leftists are making a lot of stuff up. But it's not just the staged fakery. It's not just the blatant deception. It's the overall general narrative. That's the worst lie. Let's go through the lies one at a time. Donald Trump is anti-immigration. That is a lie. Donald Trump is married to an immigrant, a legal immigrant. And this is a tired trick of the left, one that I'm really sick of. They conflate legal with illegal immigration. They send smug, smiley talking heads on Fox News to say things like, "Well, Sean, we are a nation of immigrants. We are a nation of proud immigrants." Yeah, sure, got it. But that isn't the issue, McFly. Nobody is objecting to immigration. We're objecting to illegal immigration. And the strongest demographic against illegal immigration, the people who object the most, legal immigrants, including legal Hispanic immigrants. They came here the correct way. They waited their turn. They played by the rules. They got in line. Of course, they resent the ones that are cheating. Another lie. ICE is randomly pulling people off the street just because of the color of their skin. Completely made up. The politicians saying this know they are making it up. ICE is going after criminals and investigating locations based on legitimate suspicion and a warrant. They don't care what country they come from. They care whether they're here illegally. They care whether they've developed a record since being here illegally. Now, if while they are there, they find others who perhaps didn't commit any violent crime but are still in the country illegally, yes, they too can be arrested and deported. But they have already been given the right to self-deport with a $1,000 gift and an opportunity to come back legally. Get in line. Do it the right way. Does that sound like the policy of a racist, anti-immigrant administration? Meanwhile, the people they are specifically seeking out at the moment are murderers, rapists, human traffickers. By the way, if sanctuary cities would honor ICE detainers and turn over those who are in prison but they know are here illegally, those who committed crimes and are in the country illegally, if they would turn them over to ICE instead of letting them out in the streets loose when they hear that ICE is coming, then ICE wouldn't have to go rounding people up in the streets. This is a problem being created by the sanctuary cities, not ICE. And rest assured, the very same politicians who resist their deportation, pretending that such deportation is illegal when it's very legal, these same politicians who loved to talk about due process and the rule of law are now encouraging people to break the law by interfering with ICE agents. That is against the law. And these are the same people who yacked about January 6th as the worst assault on law and democracy since the Civil War. And yet they are now targeting ICE agents specifically, so matter-of-factly, that they might as well paste a target on the back of each agent. The latest? ICE agents need to be unmasked. We need to make it against the law for ICE agents to wear masks. Why? Why exactly are they asking ICE agents to unmask? I thought Democrats loved masks. They were demanding masks of every single person in the country during COVID. And when is the last time they instructed an Antifa or BLM rioter to take off their masks? Oh no, their masks are fine. Just fine. Only federal officers need to unmask. And the reason, oh, it's just brilliant. If they are arresting people, the people have a right to see who is arresting them. Otherwise, they won't have any way of knowing that this is a real official. Let's be clear. The legal identification of a policeman is his badge, not his face. Why should ICE agents have to unmask when people are threatening violence against them and violence against their families? Let's not pretend our Democrat politicians don't understand this problem. They get it. They just want to make names for themselves. They have no other wild cards to play. They tried to jail Trump. They tried to keep Trump off the ballot. They told lies about Trump's record. They misquoted him constantly out of context. Nothing worked. So now the tactic is to resist by calling for violence, and they pretend to act like heroes. Some of these politicians have asserted themselves in the middle of the chaos in the hopes of being arrested, knowing full well that it's nothing but a photo op and a subject for a future campaign ad. They know that despite being arrested, they won't spend a whole day in jail. They should spend a whole year in prison for this. Why not? They sure wanted Trump in prison. Nobody is above the law. That was the mantra. Well, you know what? You're right. Nobody is above the law. So those who interfere with an ICE arrest, including politicians, should go to jail and stay in jail for a good long time. Now, that's not going to happen. It should. It's not going to happen. They know it's not going to happen. That's why they're being so brave and brazen. But I saved the best for last. Here's the lie that's working. Here's the one that even some well-meaning Republicans and conservatives are buying into.
Sure, go ahead and deport the criminals, but what about those who, albeit undocumented, have been in our country for years, picking our crops, cooking our meals, cleaning our bathrooms, doing the kind of work we don't want to do? These are people willing to do a certain kind of work.
Okay, can we put this one to bed once and for all? First, the very idea of a certain kind of person doing a certain kind of work that's beneath the rest of us, let them stay in the country. We'll be the citizens, but they'll have a role less than a citizen while they work for us. My friends, this smacks of racism and comes from those who love to give sanctimonious lectures against racism. However, to be fair, Even if you wanted to remove the racial component and just talk about undocumented people, whatever their original nationality, this two-tiered system sounds an awful lot like the ancient Romans with the patrician class and the plebeian class. It sounds like the feudal system with lords and serfs and vassals. It's also not true that they are doing the work that citizens don't want to do. Many citizens would be happy to take any kind of work they can get. They're prevented from doing so because employers don't have to pay a decent wage to people who are here illegally. What a scam. So spare us the self-righteous lecture.
They pick our crops. They clean our kitchens.
Enough. Enough already. Now, I should say, much as I like President Trump, he is succumbing to this himself. He's talking about making a deal with the farmers and hotel workers and food services to keep illegal workers in the country. I understand the president loves to make deals. I also understand that a migrant who's worked hard on a farm for many years is not a violent thug and should not be treated like one. But even though he's not guilty of a brutal crime, he's still guilty of a crime. He's here illegally. He broke the law. Does that mean he should go to jail? No, but it does mean he should be deported. And Trump campaigned on doing exactly that. True, Trump is not talking about amnesty with his specific idea. He's not talking about a road to citizenship. There would be other documentation, green cards, etc. I get it. And that's not as bad as amnesty, but it's still different than what he campaigned on. This president has such a great record for keeping campaign promises. Why stop now? The counter argument, of course, is that these people, unlike the thugs, aren't hurting anybody. Well, that's certainly a sympathetic observation. I can't blame anyone who wants a better life for his family and would prefer to live in America. The problem is that even though by comparison these peaceful people are benign, they are in fact hurting Americans who are here legally and who immigrated legally. They take jobs others are willing to do, as I already mentioned. They are also attending our public schools. They're getting free health care. They're getting free college education. The overcrowding of schools and hospitals, the waiting in line at the emergency room. These are problems, my friend. Anyway, those are the lies. The leaders on the left already know they are lies. They are gambling that you won't know. They show contempt for their constituents, hoping they are just that stupid. Well, a lot of it is stupid. You know what it also is? Obvious. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host. There are times when you're listening to the radio and you wish that instead you were watching TV. And one such time is only when my beautiful wife, Dana, is on, because we're hindered by radio. You can't see her. You always hear that funny phrase, hey, you have a face for radio. Well, that's not true with Dana. She has a face for television. Good evening, sweetheart.
Thank you very much. That makes me a little humbled.
Well, we took a humble vacation that had a few adventures and a few little knickknacks we'd like to share. Why don't you start by telling the audience what our overall goal was? We had such a heavy monologue. This is going to be a lighter part of the show to make up for that, so to speak.
Yes, and we had some great things happen, and we had some little
All in all, we had a great time, so we should start there. We were very grateful to take the trip. It was a wonderful vacation, but we hadn't
really taken a trip like this since our cruise in 2019.
We took one of the last cruises anybody in the world took, right at the end of 2019.
It was amazing.
I didn't think anybody'd ever go on a cruise again, and then when they first opened them up, you had to wear masks and get vaccinated. I say, not me, Charlie. We've gone to Disneyland and Disney World.
But we haven't gone
but
on
Disneyland's a, gotten yeah. so woke, we don't have our pass anymore. We still go with our grandkids, and I'd like to still go from time to time, but not doing as much with Disney. But this was a drive along Highway 1, which you and I have done before. It's always a wonderful trip. But we had some challenges right in the initial stages with the planning of it.
Yes, and we were especially doing this trip because it was going to be our 10-year anniversary in that week.
We were married on 7-Eleven, the same day that 7-Eleven, the store, gives out free Slurpees. That's our wedding day,
7-Eleven. We joked about having Slurpee machine at our reception. We didn't do that, but I would have liked that better than cake.
So I love
these were the nothing I love bun cakes.
Those were good.
Yeah. So anyway, so for our anniversary, we decided to do this Highway 1 road trip. And so as I'm making reservations, and I hadn't done something like this in several years now, but now I am aware that it is almost impossible to make reservations directly with the organization.
Let me mention
you're
our route first, because Highway 1 goes all the way up to Oregon.
All the way up the coast.
So we were going to go from San Simeon, take Highway 101, go into San Luis, come turn in, and from Morro Bay, San Simeon, Cambria, take the coast all the way up to Carmel. We weren't going to go any farther than Carmel. It's a beautiful drive. In places, you have the redwoods on your right, you have the ocean on your left. Well, or reverse, depending on which direction you're going in, but it doesn't get much better than that. So that was the idea. Okay.
That was the idea. And then I started making reservations and quickly found out you can't get to anybody directly. It's almost impossible.
On the internet reservation.
No, on the phone. You can't even call, like, hey, I want to come to your establishment. You can't call
them.
This
is true with everything now. You call customer, and with AI, it's only going to get worse, but you call customer service, and the first thing you hear is that you could check them out online. It's almost like, hi, say, what a fool you are that you didn't try to challenge us online. But go ahead. If you really want to wait, it'll be 10 minutes. We'll play this horrible elevator music that'll make you want to puke. And then maybe we'll get somebody outsourced to the third world to try to take your call and won't understand a word you're saying. So no exceptions when you're making hotel reservations these days.
And you don't even get some. They just have you do it all online. So you're just making all the choices.
Right.
But
if there's a problem, you need to call somebody.
Yes. And when I was trying to do the original reservations, I think I'm on the website of that particular hotel or whatever. And I would click in thinking, okay, I'm on the, for example, Marriott. I'm on the Marriott site. This will do it. And I get kicked over to Expedia. Almost every single time I'd get kicked out of the hotel one. But I think I'm on the hotel website.
All roads lead to Expedia, no matter what the name of the hotel. Yeah. The people that are going to make your reservations are Expedia.
So one time when I desperately needed to call the place, because after I made the reservation and I've been using, you know, our credit cards and so on, one of them kicked back and said, there's a problem with your card. Please call the hotel, whatever. And
so then you try to call the hotel, but all you get is Expedia.
It took a bit to find a direct phone line.
Dana doesn't have a temper. She's the gentlest person I know, but she sounded like she was ready to throw something. And that if she could throw somebody from Expedia, that would have been even more preferable.
Well, because they don't really know what... I don't blame them. They're remote people, too. They don't even know.
But they don't have to set up the whole system that
I know.
Way.
Well, anyway, nevertheless, I had to call this... The kickback I got from Expedia was contact this hotel because your card did not get accepted for whatever reason.
But it's not the hotel. It's
the
Expedia.
Only place... Yeah. That happened. All the rest of the time, everything was fine. So I'm desperately trying to call this place, and we've been there before. It's a Ragged Point Inn on the coast. It's
beautiful.
One of the most beautiful.
Right on the coast.
Yeah, and you're
rooms,
literally overlooking
very well-run
cliffs.
Place.
Yes, gorgeous grounds.
We give
it's
them
just
high marks, unlike some of the places we're going to tell you about later.
So I finally find an actual number. I call, and I keep getting a recording. We're away from our desk right now, blah, 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 blah. And you go, oh, my gosh, for Pete's sakes,
is
there no one there?
What a fool you are that you didn't try to check us out online.
So then eventually I did get a call from the person there, and I said, I tried to make a reservation. However, I got a notification. There's something wrong with our card. We really want to stay here. This is our place. We've come through here several times, and we always stay at the Ragged Point Inn. Please, can you help me with this? Check my card and so on. Well, she said, yes, you have a reservation. And
so there hadn't been a problem,
and I said,
according to her.
I said the last time, well, I had to give her a new
and you
card.
Are very important. You ordered a room with
an ocean view.
That's an
view
important
online.
Part of the story.
I clicked the ocean view. So I said, before we hang up, let me just check.
This is a place that says define ocean view.
So I said, and we do have an ocean view, correct? Because we've been there enough. We know if we open our window at night,
nothing like hearing the ocean
at night. And it's just lovely. So last thing I said was an ocean view. She said, yes, yes, you're in the house with four rooms. I said, wait, what? Hang on.
We're going to share one house with four other families, each in our own room. And they didn't even tell us whether each room had its own bathroom or whether it was a community bathroom.
I didn't even care. I said, oh, no. That's not going to work.
That's not what we had in mind celebrating our anniversary.
Yeah, so apparently that house does have ocean views, but it was not the ocean view.
But who cares? You're in a house with four other families.
Yeah. So anyway, that was the first. I thought, oh, Lord, thank you for having that card.
Yeah, so it was good that didn't work.
Yes.
Otherwise, we'd have discovered this great news when we arrived.
That would have been really, really bad. So just the reservation process was not what I've experienced in the past. So next time we go on a trip, I'll just be ready for that I'm just not going to talk to people, and I've got to get the computer to do what it needs to do. So anyway, but we did start out our trip, our first day in Long Beach.
Well, now another important piece of information.
Yes.
Now, I had said to Dana, I've been up Highway 1 a lot, and they frequently close. We should find out if it's even open.
But wait, we had already made all the reservations.
Well, no, here's the irony. I said that before you made the reservations, a few days before, and we were going to do it. And then on the day you were making the reservations, I forgot about my own warning. Yeah. And so in the middle of making them, I said, whoa, we forgot to check. So I did check. And we found that actually about 30 miles going south to north, about 30 miles north of Ragged Point Inn, if you're wanting to start
heading. Drove up to the close.
It is closed. But we still wanted to take this trip. So
we had to. We had all the reservations.
We did kind of a workaround route. Yeah. So we went to Morro Bay, and then we were going to go to Hearst Castle, and then from there there's a road that takes you back to 101, back above Carmel.
Back out to
then when we got to Carmel, we spent the day and we drove the other direction. By between the two disjointed
trips, we covered
trips,
as much of one as
we
available.
Probably did experience most of one, but in a very roundabout way. And it's been closed, they said, for 2.5 years and counting.
There's
no ETA
projected
on when
opening.
They're going to open
no.
up. The state doesn't have enough funds. They're too busy teaching people their pronouns and spending their money on that.
Yeah, and we did notice also that a lot of the rest stops were closed.
Yeah, well,
and that's
have,
due to lack
of money
funding.
For the DEI programs, rest stops, keeping the beautiful Highway 1 open, that's another story.
Yeah, so there were a few things like that.
But we still managed to make it work.
Well, we had a great time.
Because with our roundabout
time.
Way, we still
lovely.
Saw most of
we
the Highway 1 that was in our trajectory.
Yes, and then we did start the trip in L.A. with our Texas kids and our grandkids.
Our Texas kids and grandkids happened to be here.
in LA for a family reunion, yeah.
For my daughter-in-law's family. So we got to go with them and tell them a little bit about what we did with
them. It was so much fun. We spent quite a bit of time in the Long Beach Aquarium, and we've been to several aquariums. But that aquarium is...
That is an aquarium of steroids. It is beyond.
It really is. It's just so... As a teacher, I just think, oh my gosh, if I lived near this, every year my kids would go to that aquarium because there's so much education and learning, and it's done in such a great way and interactive things and petting tanks, and it was amazing. So it was fun seeing it through the grandkids' eyes and just seeing the wonder in their eyes of this place. Well, then also we made reservations with a whale watching boat. They kind of work together in tandem with the aquarium.
Now, Dana, you've been whale watching before.
I have.
This
yes.
was my first time.
I bet
time.
Only in San Diego I've done it.
This
yeah.
was my first time, and it was a lot of fun.
We
saw a lot of dolphins, but you could tell we were about 2/3 into the trip, and the MC on the voyage,
who was a Long Beach Aquarium employee, right. He was a scientist.
Yeah,
from there.
But you could tell that he was getting a little concerned that we might not see any whales, and you could tell by the way he was talking. Oh, you know, folks, sometimes you see the whale, and sometimes you know. Oh, and actually, did you know that technically a dolphin is a whale? I turned to the family. I said, if we're hearing that technically a dolphin is a whale, that little disclaimer means he doesn't think we're going to find any real honest to goodness whale. Said, next we're going to hear, well, you signed up for whale watching, and maybe you didn't see the whale, but you were watching for one, so you did get. He was expecting to not see whales, but then
it was really
we
cool.
We saw a whale. Listening to this guy talk, I didn't think it would happen, but we did, and it was very
and
cool.
And then he went into the spiel about how whales can come up and then they can go down for 25 minutes and you'll never so then
more
he's
the
setting
whale
us up again
up
for and not gonna happen and then,
more of the whale coming up and going down when we return. You're listening to the Bob Siegel Show with Dana Siegel.
Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539. W&S Electric.
Is it really true that there will be peace in the Middle East if we just have a two-state solution? Or are some people instead challenging Israel's right to exist at all? Is it true that Jews have no historical claim to the Holy Land and stole that land from a people called the Palestinians? Bob Siegel's latest book challenges the historical revision of the Israeli-Palestinian situation and shows how Israel's struggle may soon be the struggle of the entire world. The Holocaust Against Israel by Bob Siegel, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. We were talking about whale watching. Whale! I guess I should get back to Brendan told me to do that joke. So if you liked it, it was my delivery. If you thought it was lame, it was Brendan's suggestion.
It was fun seeing the whales. And we saw several dolphin frenzies.
Whale. I guess we should tell
humpback
them.
Humpback whale. It did dive a couple of times, so we got to see the whole thing. It was pretty cool. And it did come up about every 3 to 4 minutes. And so we did get several viewings. And the grandkids thought it was amazing. But I think they were more impressed with the dolphin feeding frenzies.
Well, one of them was our grandson Michael was kind of seasick on the voyage.
Yeah, but he was so brave. And he was fine as soon as... I think he was just hungry. The boy eats constantly. I think he was hungry.
He wasn't acting like he was hungry. He was acting like something he ate he wanted to upchuck. Although he didn't.
He didn't. No, he was great. So that was really fun seeing that. So that was our first day. Then we said goodbye to them and... The next morning, they headed off to Texas, and we headed north. Our first stop on the trip outside of L.A. was Morro Bay, and Morro Bay is famous for that big...
place.
It is beautiful. It's like that picturesque...
That big rock. That, coastal. They call it the haystack.
Yeah, and the rock is just magnificent, and it is just offshore. It's like this huge mountain's just sitting right there, and it's fascinating. But the part about Morro Bay is that all of the hotels are built going up the hill, so you have a view of the ocean and the rock.
And this was another one where
sunset.
You requested an ocean view. Now, before we go before we talk about this hotel, I always like to do little disclaimers like I did years ago when we had a bad experience on an airline and I changed the name to Shamerican Airlines so that nobody would know which airline I'm talking about. So let me change the name of this hotel. We were staying at the Worst Eastern Hotel.
And we had
that way you will have no idea what hotel we're really talking about.
And you know, we've always had great experiences.
I have always had great experiences.
I thought it was like this would be great. We can count on
hotels, but not this.
We could count on this. And what happened was we pull in and
we're right at 3 o'clock check-in.
Yeah,
time.
Right at the check-in.
And there's a lady
time.
Out there sweeping up, and she looks at us. She goes, "Oh."
She said, "Are you here to check in?
Is it 3 o'clock already?" That wasn't a good sign, right there.
Well, and in her defense, nobody was there and she didn't have room service people. She was all alone. She had rooms that had to get turned over and she had people coming in.
Okay, well, we hear this a lot. We're understaffed. And I understand that's a problem, but that's not the fault of the customers. And it goes toward the way they're being managed.
So we go in.
I'm only so sympathetic when I hear that.
Yeah, so we go into the lobby. She reluctantly unlocks and takes us into the lobby. And we're the only car in the parking lot.
And Dana says, "I reserved a room with an ocean view." First thing she says is, "Would you settle for half an ocean view?"
Partial. I said, "Well, what does that mean?
What the heck does that
mean?"
The window opens up only halfway.
Yeah, well, we found it's a little bathroom window view.
Later on, we got to look at one. And the only view was if you're taking a shower, you can open up the window and see part of the ocean.
And I'm thinking, okay, this is our anniversary trip. I did pay a little more to be able to have ocean views.
You paid more online for an ocean view.
So
you said, "Well, we paid for an ocean view. We want an ocean view."
So she said, "Well, it won't be ready for an hour." I said, "Oh, that's no problem at all.
I must say we were very gracious and very understanding. In fact, Dana said, "I'll tell you what, we'll give you 2 hours.
Yeah, I said, "There's no rush at all."
We could see she was very stressed and she was trying to help us. So we said, "Okay, we'll give her 2 hours.
Yeah. So we go away for 2 hours. Totally
loved. And we had a great time.
I know the seaboard there is great.
Great. So it was a great
stores.
2 hours. It went by quickly.
It was really, really beautiful just walking.
We saw all kinds of otters. They're very famous for
the close
that one
was
otters
huge.
That
I've
there.
Never seen an otter
they
that
right
big.
Under the pier.
Yeah. So it was fine. It was totally fine that we couldn't check. We were just trying to get ahead of it. So we go back.
It was no problem whatsoever until.
We go back and there are about 4 cars parked in the lot now. Nobody that we can see. And I'm like, "Oh, a few more people
and
got
the door
checked
to
in.
The lobby is
we get
locked,
to the lobby door.
And there's a sign on the door that says closed
due to
staffing. Sorry. Oh, but at least they said sorry because that automatically made it okay.
So I'm thinking, okay, I know that she's around here somewhere because she's by herself.
Except she wasn't. She had gone home.
Well, we come
she
to find
left
out.
Some college age kid in charge.
Bob and I literally walked the entire hotel.
And that's when we got to get in and see some rooms. And
we saw several rooms.
And we saw the ocean views if you went into the bathroom. We saw what they
There were probably 12 rooms.
And there probably really was one with an ocean view. But we found this kid.
Well, we know there was.
Well, there was a guy sitting in his car, and he says, "There is somebody here. He's some kid." Right. By that,
he
means college
probably
age.
In his 20s. 20s. He was in his mid to late 20s, but he was there by himself. So we're trying to find somebody. And so we're going around, we're walking around the upper floor and going in, and almost every door is open. The beds are stripped, all of the cushions and the pillows and the bedspreads, they're all over on the tables and chairs. The beds are stripped. Everything is down to nothing. And it's just room after room after room like that. And so when we went into two of the rooms that were open upstairs that would have had the ocean view, I'm not kidding you, the bathroom window, which was about a foot and a half by a foot and a half, was the only place you could see the ocean.
Well, now we did find out that there was a real ocean view.
But so those two, so those two rooms did exist. And I said to Bob, I said, if this is what they're calling an ocean,
I would not have paid for that.
Over the toilet. I'm like, I don't think so. So anyway, we got a chuckle out of that. We go down. There are several rooms downstairs, open, halfway ready, blah, blah, you know, just stripped, not by any means ready for guests. So we go back down to the guy who's sitting in his car, and he said, yeah, he's right. And we couldn't find this guy. So I, you know, every room we walk in, we're like, hello, hello, didn't find him. All of a sudden he comes out from somewhere. We don't even know where he was. And he said, oh, he said, yeah, we're closed. And I said, well, we were here 2 hours ago and we spoke to the lady and she said she was going to have our room ready.
And we came back and now and your door is closed and there's a sign
saying. So he said, oh, okay. He goes, give me just a minute. So he goes in. He was probably in that office for seven, 8 minutes.
And he looked it up and then he came back and said, guess what? Some other people arrived after you did and we gave them your room is what he told us.
In between the time he talked to us and that, he had spoken to the hotel manager.
And she, the lady we talked to, she was
the hotel owner in Arizona. Well, he had called several people.
Apparently some people showed up while we were gone giving her that time. And she's thinking, I just want to go home and get out of there. So she went ahead and gave them our room.
She gave
them
two ocean rooms.
She didn't want to hear them complain. She was taking advantage of the time we gave her. Now, we were both feeling sympathetic toward her, but that is
has
got to be
bad.
One of the creepiest ways of doing business I've ever seen in my life.
So Ethan was the young man at the hotel, and he was
doing his best. He was doing his best.
And he finally said, you know, there's another hotel just like us, literally like 2 minutes away. They're open. And then he kind of lowers his voice and said, and they're less expensive. I said, okay.
And they're better. And so, somebody's actually there and they actually have rooms and they actually have housekeepers.
I said, so it's not looking good for us to get in tonight. Well, in this time, he's trying to talk.
He's trying to get our money refunded.
Yes.
And he called the owner and the owner said, you're not
going
to give a refund
any money.
To anybody.
So we've got other issues to work
on.
Yeah, it's really amazing. Well, in that amount of time, because we were in there probably 10, 15 minutes as he was trying to work on this, there are 5 or 6, 7 people behind us by the time we step out. Now, they're hearing probably half of what we've got going on. So anyway, we leave. We go to the other place. The gal was amazing. Shelby was wonderful. She got us checked in literally in 5 minutes. We were on the top
floor.
And
she checked in about another 5 people that migrated from the other hotel.
Yes,
also.
She told us in the morning when we were checking out that several people had followed us over from this other hotel. And she was just lovely. She gave us the top floor ocean view that was probably one of the most spectacular ocean view rooms I've ever seen. And she was just great and provided a really great breakfast in the next morning. And she was doing this all on her own and not complaining and doing it with a smile. So anyway, it turned out fine. But there were a few minutes there we thought, well, maybe we're sleeping in the car tonight. we didn't know what was going to happen. But anyway, so that was Morro Bay.
That was one of those you had to be there stories.
Yeah, you really.
So Morro Bay was beautiful. Second hotel in Morro Bay was fine.
Was lovely.
First one was an unmitigated disaster. And that woman should be fired. She should just be fired.
Yeah.
But again, the college kid was trying to help us. And he said he'd just been hired 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. He was only 2 weeks into this
job. He's only been there 2 weeks and they've already thrown him to the dog. Yeah. I said, I don't know what they're paying you for this job, but you got to believe me, it's not enough.
Well, we did tell Shelby over at the other hotel, you know, if you're looking for somebody
hire this guy.
He's your man because he's pretty awesome.
Down that other place and turn it into a public toilet or something.
Yeah. Anyway, so much for that. That was probably one of the craziest hotel experiences we've ever had.
Okay, well, we'll talk about other crazy experiences when we return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Reader enthusiasm for the dangerous Christmas ornament doesn't end. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Anytime I read a book where I want to find out what happens in the next chapter all the way to the last page of the book is a great book. This is the experience you and your children will have reading The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. I read the whole thing in a short time despite a busy schedule. The interesting plot lines has the flavor of realism because the author is writing from his own childhood experiences and ours as well. You will relate to the authentic family dynamics and the playground trials and triumphs described in the book. The book will also make you laugh as some of the characters have a great sense of humor, delivering good-natured jokes mixed with a dose of sarcasm. Most importantly, the book throughout has a moral dimension to it that takes it to a deeper level, making it a preferred selection to read to your kids. Enjoy! The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available in bookstores and libraries.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. Did you know that SDCC has been training servant leaders since 1970? That's over 50 years of making an impact. Our degree and certificate programs blend academic excellence with a Christian worldview. Whether you're a traditional age college student or a working professional who wants to complete their degree or certificate program, we may be a match for you. Learn more at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College, over 50 years in the making.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. I'm joined with my lovely wife, Dana. We told you about a pretty harrowing hotel experience, but now the trip was pretty good after that.
Yeah. Our next stop was Hearst Castle.
Hearst Castle, which we've both been to before.
Yes.
They have different tours.
We did a different tour this time. We did the suites and some of the different levels where guests would stay. And then actually we were able to see William Hearst's room and his lady friend's room.
And Dana is much more of a visual person than I am. She's a visual learner. I'm an audio learner. That's why I'm on the radio, I guess you could say. So I enjoyed it, but I think to Dana it was just absolutely fantastic.
Well, I just get fascinated by people that just have such exceptional circumstances, and Hearst certainly did. For example, and our tour guide was amazing. She was probably one of the best of all
times. And she
talked
about the woman that was the architect who designed that place.
Yes,
she
Julia
said it was
Morgan.
Really the brains of the opera. Yeah. William Randolph Hearst, publisher, entrepreneur, he had these visions and things he wanted to see, but he was always wanting to add to that building. She's the one that made it.
Julia Morgan made it work. And she said several times, she really is the star of this show. This would not be something to come see if it weren't for her. So she did walk out Hearst's visions, and they really were good working partners. But somehow she had the ingenuity as an architect to pull off what she did for him, bringing his vision to life, but then also making it really solid. She had shared that there had been an earthquake centered 4 miles away from them in this past several years. I don't know when she said, and it was 4.2 on the Richter and caused damage to other buildings in the area.
Nothing at Hearst Castle.
The experts came right away to the castle because they thought, oh my gosh, what's happened to Hearst Castle? Not one single thing, not a crack, not a vase off of anything, nothing fell. They were amazed.
Animals there. You can see zebras on the hill. It's an incredible place.
Yeah. So just thinking about things like our tour guide talked to us about the fact that William Hearst would go to Europe and just buy whole auction houses. He'd go in and they'd say, well, here's what's going to be on auction. You want a pre-tour? He'd go in and say, I'll just buy the whole thing. And it would never go to auction. He'd just buy the entire warehouse. He did that many times over. And just to give you an idea of how many art pieces, urns, books, valuable things, he'd even buy things from churches, their pictures of their religious things, their all their ornamentation and all of these things from all over the world. He had it all shipped to New York, and it took 98 train cars to move all of the stuff from back east to the West Coast. So when you picture 98 train cars filled with his finding, it's just overwhelming. I can't even imagine. And then it was Julia Morgan's job to take all those things and incorporate them into the room. So every room.
And to this day, the castle's not finished.
No.
And they decided they would never finish it because it wouldn't be Hearst finishing it.
Yeah. And he was one of those people who, this is what made Julia Morgan so impressive, is that each time he changed his mind, he'd do something, it would be done, and then he'd say, no, let's do it like this. And so she'd have to work in or change or do something again that she wasn't expecting, but she just kept doing it with him. So anyway, it's such a
wonderful tour, but I must confess something. I kept telling Dana, there's a couple of movies made about William Randolph Hearst.
Yeah, tell them about that, honey.
I said one of them, Citizen Kane, considered by most movie critics the best movie ever made, starring Orson Welles, written and directed and produced by Orson. And the other one was made years later with Leonardo DiCaprio, The Aviator. So we go to, was it Amazon?
So the
Prime?
whole trip, I'm
two
excited
movies.
About
I said,
two
I've
more
I've never seen
movies.
The Aviator, but I've seen Citizen Kane. So we go on Amazon Prime.
We had
and the
to
only,
buy it.
The only way to watch The Aviator is to buy it. Turns out that in my mind, it was really the one with DiCaprio was really about Howard Hughes.
Oh,
but in my
gosh.
Mind, I was conflating it with Hearst. Now, to my defense, both last names started with an H and a U. Both were very eccentric millionaires. Both were entrepreneurs. Then I said, okay, well, Citizen Kane is really about William Hearst. But then I'm looking it up and going, wait a minute. No, because the guy's name is Kane in
yeah.
the movie. Turned out it was loosely based on the life of William Randolph Hearst, but in the movie they changed the name, so that one was closer. But I was actually wrong on both accounts, and I admit it publicly right over the air.
And I would absolutely say I did not realize what an unusual, crazy person
it
Howard
was torture
Hughes
was. Watching
it
that
was.
Movie,
we kept saying,
Aviator.
"Could we do 15
now,
more
were,
minutes and then stop?"
They were apparently doing an accurate portrayal of his life, and the movie was nominated
very,
for like 10 Academy Awards.
It was very hard.
They did a good job with it, but boy, I would never want to watch that again.
Yeah.
Yet we had to buy it just to watch it.
Yeah, so. He was a very tortured individual for sure, and yet gifted in many ways too, but had some very tragic things go on in his life. And
well, the
so,
little bit of time we have anyway, left, let's talk a little bit
okay,
about Carmel,
Carmel,
because you have something in Carmel that absolutely
yeah,
fascinates
Carmel,
me.
Carmel, when we went there on one of our first trips after we were married, I fell in love with the homes that had rooftops with shingles that swirled and just rounded the rooftops. They're just fascinating to see. They are actually called fairy tale homes. The architect or the designer of these is Hugh Comstock, and he has several of them throughout the Carmel area. And last time we were there, we just drove around, and every time I'd find one, I'd just be so excited. So we went on a hunt to find these Hugh Comstock rooftops, and we didn't find tons of them. And what I think we've discovered is because they're made out of wood shingles, it's been about 10 years since we were there. We think that many of them have been replaced with these composite shingles.
It was like a treasure hunt to
yeah,
find them.
We really...
I didn't remember these. I remembered vaguely. I'd say, is that it? No, that's not it. That's not
yeah.
it. It was like
so,
hunting for treasure.
Yeah. So we drove around for quite a while. We did find
we
a few.
Saw five or six of them.
But then we did see ones
but
that we
like
think
the
have
last
been re-roofed.
Time we had been in Carmel.
Yes. And finally, on our last night, Bob saw one right in the middle of the downtown quaint area that we had walked through a few times. And so I got one more picture of a Comstock rooftop that was perfect. It was one of the best ones right before we left. So it was really cool. So it was a great trip. The things that were unusual were funny. They make for great stories, but the majority of the trip was
and
just lovely.
And we loved the hotel rooms when they actually have a room for
when
us.
We got in.
But we realized how spoiled we are being at home with the
oh,
DVR
yeah.
where we could speed through commercials. So here yes. I am watching Fox News and I got to listen to the commercials.
We watched more commercials.
And they always
the
make
week.
The commercials louder. I don't know if you've noticed that. If you have a DVR, you don't have to notice it. So that's one of the drawbacks with hotels, our television experience. And I could stay up all night watching TV. Dana can't. Some of the hotels, there's two different rooms with two different TVs. Others, she's got to kind of be up.
Yeah.
I try to keep it low and try to remember to turn it off during the commercial. It was a challenge. And much as we loved the experience, it was nice to get home.
Yeah.
And
it
was nice to have our own TV where we could speed through the commercials again.
Yes, but we'd highly recommend a drive.
A drive along Highway 1. You'll have to do it piecemeal the way we did. Yeah. But if they ever really reopen the whole thing up again, and you could do Highway 1 the way the good Lord intended it to be done, we highly recommend it. We will see you next time.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.